Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me,' because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day again John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Behold, look, today as last week, there's some important pointing going on in the Gospel reading. Last week it was, "Look, behold, the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Jesus. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' Behold," said the Spirit of God by a visible descent from heaven, to light and remain on Jesus. "Behold," said the Father, as he pointed out this man as his beloved Son, on whom his favor rests. The message today is much the same, though the messenger is different. Where God spoke and acted directly in identifying Jesus in last week's gospel, today we have an intermediary, John, to whom God had made Jesus known, who now points Jesus out as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And we know that this wasn't just a one-time thing. At least once more, the following day, he says again, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John gives testimony not only concerning who Jesus is, but also with regard to his work, what he does. Behold, the Lamb of God, God's Lamb. In biblical terms, this can mean only one thing: sacrifice. Every lamb, ram, bull, and goat in the Old Testament pointed to this lamb. This is the lamb the shepherds of Bethlehem came to see that night as they were tending their lambs in the field. He is the ram who saved Isaac. He is the Passover lamb whose blood meant freedom and life for the Israelites. He is the whole burnt offering and the sin offering. He is the atoning sacrifice of the Day of Atonement, whose blood is propitiation for the sin of God's people, and also the scapegoat of that same festival, over whom the sins of the people were confessed, which was then led out into the wilderness, bearing the sins of Israel and taking them all away from the people. He is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, the Lamb who opened not his mouth as he was oppressed, afflicted, and led to the slaughter for the iniquity of us all. But he is God's Lamb in a unique way. He was not taken from the flock to be offered to the Lord. Rather, he comes from the Lord to be given by him to be offered for sinners. Isaac's life had been spared when the Lord provided a substitute for him, a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. This Lamb, the one to whom John pointed, is God's Son, his only Son whom he loves, begotten of the Father from eternity, incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. This Lamb is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. As we sang last week, God sent no angel to our race, of higher or of lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to this world himself he came. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came, he was given as a lamb in order to take away, to bear in his body the sin of the whole world. We tend to think of sins, when we do, more than we think of sin. Sins, the things we do or fail to do, our angry words or wicked thoughts. As the Lamb of God, Jesus takes care of those. He takes them from you. He shoulders them himself, and he bears them to the cross. The wonderful truth is that there are no sins you have ever committed or will commit for which Jesus has not already paid the price, for which he did not suffer the full punishment, which his holy, precious blood does not completely cleanse and remove from you. But Jesus does even more. He has not only dealt with your sins, the symptoms of your eternally fatal condition, but with the root problem itself, the awful disease of sin. You've probably heard it explained this way. You are not a sinner because you commit sins. Rather, you commit sins because you are a sinner. The problem with sin is not simply what you do, but rather what you are. That's why, although you might successfully resist this temptation or that temptation, in this life you'll never succeed in resisting every temptation. You are a sinner. Sinners sin. That's what they do. And that's why the testimony of John is so wonderful. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away, who carries away the sin of the world. This is the heart of our faith as baptized believers. The core of Christianity. Here in a single sentence is the mystery of faith. Jesus is God's Lamb, uniquely the only one there is, and the only one you need. He is spotless and sinless, without Father Adam's sin, because God is his Father, an unblemished lamb without fault, a perfect whole burnt offering. He was washed in the Jordan River in preparation for his sacrifice. He became one with you in your sin, though he is without sin. He became your sin. All of the ways that you sin against God and those around you, not only by what you do, but by what you are. He became the idolater for you. Though he feared, loved, and trusted in God, the Father, above all things, he became the blasphemer for you, though he lived and spoke the name of God in purity. He became the Sabbath breaker for you, though he kept the Sabbath perfectly, always honoring God's word. He became the disobedient son for you, though he was obedient to his parents and rendered to Caesar what was Caesar's. He became the murderer for you, though he never hated anyone and never laid hands on another human being except in blessing and in healing. He became the adulterer for you, though he was chaste and pure in everything he thought and said and did. He became the thief for you, though he never took a penny from another. He became the liar for you, though he spoke the truth with his every breath. He became the restless coveter for you, though he was content to live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. He became your sin, bearing it like a lamb, bleeding and dying with it for you as your substitute. Only Jesus did that. Only Jesus could do that. No one else. There have been brilliant men and great religious leaders, people of great moral and ethical principles, but there is no man on the face of the earth in all of human history who is God's Lamb. No man except this one, God's perfect, sinless Son, who takes away your sin by his death and makes forgiveness yours in your baptism and in his supper. You can be certain that he takes away your sin because he takes away the sin of the world. His sacrifice was not just for favored sinners, for those who were elect, or for those who would believe, or those who would commit their lives to him. He died for them too, certainly. But he died for all, to take away the sin of the world. And that means you can be sure that he takes away your sin. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The baptizer said this as he pointed to Jesus. And if John were here today, he could do the same thing, pointing to the altar, where shortly the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, will again have mercy on you and give you peace. Have you ever noticed how in the liturgy of the supper, following the words of our Lord, I raise the bread and the cup and say, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." I speak those words, but they are the Lamb of God's words. You see him in his body and in his blood, and he greets you as he greeted his disciples in the upper room on the evening of his resurrection. Peace be with you. Then you echo the baptizer's words as you pray, "O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us." and grant us peace. And then he comes to you in his body, given into death for you, and in his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And you receive him in the bread and the wine, trusting in his promises, and are cleansed and redeemed. Your sins are forgiven, wiped away, and you know God as your gracious and loving Father, who rejoices in you and strengthens and sustains you in faith toward him and in love toward one another. Look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away your sin. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.